Jones, we are gathered here today and met with Anton Kulikov. Anton, how are you, my friend?
I'm awesome.
You are not awesome. You're under the weather and you're playing hurt. And you want to know something? Kids your age don't play hurt anymore.
That's true.
So I give you a lot of credit for coming on the show. You're a little under the weather. You got to talk and project for the next, 15 to 30 minutes here or whatever. And I give you a lot of credit for showing up.
So that is a compliment, just to clarify.
Understanding. 100% a compliment.
It's just a little, voice is a little hoarse, but you know what? Sometimes it's kind of cool because you talk like, ooh.
Did you go out partying last night, have a couple of drinks, smoke some cigars?
That's what I'm talking about.
No, nobody
Anton,
does.
Anton, come on, man. I'm living vicariously through you. I want to know that you were out at some rave last night and Anton took his glasses off and he was just.
You took your bottom lip and you bit it?
That's the move, Tony. That's what you guys do.
You guys, what do you, I've been waiting a long time for you to say that, Victor. What do you mean by you guys?
Beth, can we get an Omaha? Can we get Omaha in here?
Omaha.
With you guys.
Yes, yeah, see? Anton,
all right, everyone. I'll see you next week. Enjoy your segment.
Who is you
the
guys?
The funny thing about this, I was joking. Anton's really serious. What do you mean by you guys?
Anton, we have slides?
All my life, I've been the kid who doesn't really understand the colloquialisms of the day or the the euphemisms of the day. So I would be the kid who would ask, when I was in class, like, and everybody's giggling, like, oh, what is that? And then everybody would make fun of me.
Anton, I'll be completely honest with you. I wish I was you because you grew up the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. So good for you, my friend. Good for you. You'll shine in the second half, like now. When we shined in the first half, or at least I shined in the first half, I've peaked. You're still peaking, my friend. You're still got an upward projection. All right, but let's get to this market measure. What do you got next?
Please, because they are roasting me in the chat right now. Let's move on.
Volatility and the CPI. So now yesterday I was on for the market measure and I was supposed to be the color guy. Now tell me, what is my role today? Am I the lead or am I the color guy?
You're the lead.
Okay.
Another right. dangerous
obviously,
question.
Obviously, Victor is the color guy.
No, I knew you were going to do that. Anton, you just let's go. We are all getting canceled if you don't get us through this segment, Anton.
So, you know what? Half the time I just smile and pretend I know what you guys are talking about. And I just hope that nobody ever calls me out on it. You know what I mean?
That's that's my whole career.
Huh? Yeah.
Hey, get off my corner.
So the Consumer Price Index, also known as the CPI, they published inflation, all that stuff. Okay, so the question is, how much market volatility do we see before and after the release, right? Is there some kind of trend? Is there some kind of game that you can, anything you can buy, anything you can sell based on the fact that the CPI is coming? And what happens to vol before, during, and after the event? Any guesses?
See, I have no idea.
Can I be a Debbie Downer here, or should I just smile and nod?
No, this is the interactive. Is the interactive portion of the segment.
Let's go through the segment. I'm always skeptical of stuff like this because if you don't break it out and say, was the number greater or less than expected? And then you say what happened in those two different scenarios, because if you get greater inflation, you would think perhaps you would see more asset volatility, potentially. Not on the, so when you don't, if you don't break it up and you just say on just a measure of CPI, do you get more vol? To me, it's like, I don't know what you can do with that. But anyways, let's go.
That's a good point. I mean, that's how we would think, but I was asking you as like the layperson. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
In a sense, yeah, but that's true. So let's go to the next slide. So we're going to go through the last 15 years of SPY and the VIX, and we're going to look at the specific dates when you got the CPI release. So basically yesterday or was it yesterday? No, it was 2 days ago. 2 days ago, you know, every month we have one essentially. So call it 15 times 12. You have, is it 120? Is that right? No, more than that. 180. Right. Yeah, 180. 180 dates in this study. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you examine the direction and the size of the VIX movements, both 2 days before and after the CPI announcement. So going into the announcement, let's say on this week, you would have been looking at Monday and Tuesday, okay? And then Thursday and Friday, okay? We would be looking at those specific dates and looking at the VIX to see what happens on those days around the CPI. And then we're going to separate the results from those announcements where SPY went up or down 2 days following. So in other words, does VIX change? And then if SPY was already moving up or down, does that change how volatility changes?
Can we guess?
So if we're in a bull market or in a bear market and you have a CPI report, does it change the way volatility moves?
Can we guess? Can we guess what happens? I would say VIX, the study's probably going to show that there's nothing happens. But I would guess VIX goes up prior and VIX falls after the number.
Okay.
That would be my guess. In a bull market.
I think you have a good guess. I think you're there, and I think ultimately it will be random.
Mm-hmm. It's the safest guess. I mean, realistically, that's
yeah.
The most.
Yeah, it's a safe bet. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next slide and take a look. So, when we look at just any like all markets essentially, regardless of what SPY goes up or down, we're just looking at what happens before. Basically week of CPI, before CPI, and after CPI. And what we see is the amount of times that the VIX increases, it's just under 50% over time. Now, that's obvious because the VIX doesn't go up more than 47. That's the long-term average of the VIX going up anyway, because SPY goes up 53% of the time, so VIX goes down 47% of the time, or VIX goes up 47% of the time. So therefore, that's kind of your base scenario, right? VIX goes up 47% of the time. If it increases, it goes up by about 2 points. If it decreases, it goes down by 1.5 points. Now, before CPI, okay, it's about the same. There's essentially no change. In fact, you can argue that, you know, the volatility of volatility or the how big VIX moves is lower, but it's by like 25 cents on both sides. So realistically, whether you're looking at during CPI or the whole period, you're splitting it before or after, there's not really any big changes in how much volatility moves and also what the probability of it rising is. It's wrapped around 40 to 50%. And as a trade, you can't really trade off of that. That's not a tradable event, especially if you're looking at CPI days, which only happen, again, 12 times a year. There's no, call it, arb here that you can play. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, which I think is the safe bet. I mean, what you're going to see, I'm just disclaiming, just full disclosure. The study is a very relatively safe, boring study from the standpoint of this is exactly what you would expect to happen. Now, we're presenting it because a lot of people asked the question, of course, because on Wednesday you had quite a large move, right? And even though people knew that there was some risk potentially involved, you're like, well, maybe we should trade it, maybe we shouldn't. And then you have the huge move on CPI day. Okay, is there actually something here over long periods of time? And the answer in this case, at least looking at VIX, is no. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. And now let's look at when SPY goes up. So when SPY goes up before the event, okay, obviously you have a lower probability of VIX increasing because SPY is on the rise, volatility goes down. So generally speaking, when you have a bullish week, you tend to have lower volatility across the board, regardless of what happens on the CPI day. So what it basically means is in a bull market, good news is good news, bad news is good news, right? That's kind of the whole, that's the theme, right? If you have a CPI day in like 2023, 2024, what do we have in the expected moves? Very low expected moves. Markets tend to rally, regardless of what regardless of what happened on the day, just because the market was moving higher, right? And funny enough, if you go to the next slide, you go to the slide where we talk about SPY going down, it's the opposite, right? Frequency of VIX going up, very high. the volatility of those VIX moves when it goes up is 1 point, 2 points. It's much more volatile, again, because you have this report in a week where the market's going lower. So again, this not only shows you that the randomness over time, but it also shows you that the CPI report very much affected by what the market's doing already. On average, of course, you have those outliers, you have that 20% area where it bucks the trend. But generally speaking, whatever the market's doing, market's going higher beforehand, chances are you're not going to see a lot of volatility on the CPI report. Even though theoretically, you look at that as an independent event, right? The CPI is always, you know, it's nothing to do with what's going on. It's a specific event in the market. But generally speaking, it always tends to follow what's happening in volatility in the market already, which that is kind of cool to know.
All right. I don't know what to take away from it. What's your takeaway from this slide?
Well, let's go to the last slide. And I think the takeaways will reveal themselves. Yeah. So the inflation is, so reality of inflation is more complex and can be expressed by any one index. And what that means for me is that if you're trading CPI and you know you have very low volatility, you have to kind of expect that no matter what happens to the number itself, chances are you're not going to get a huge move just because you're already in a low vol environment. Or if you're in a high vol environment and you're saying, okay, well, the CPI seems like a non-event, chances are you're going to see a huge move in the market because of what the CPI will or will not say, but because of the market environment you're already in. And I think that as a trader is much more important to know than putting so much emphasis on the CPI number itself. Okay, so when you filter for the spy behavior, CPI releases tended to lower volatility as market uncertainty increased. Okay, so basically if there was this is a separate takeaway. Once it comes out, volatility tends to come down a little bit, kind of like an earnings event. And then lead up to CPI showed an outsized frequency of the VIX increasing along with the SPY. Okay, so kind of like on those, you look at the zero DT options, the one-day options, right? You notice that when you go up into the event, you get kind of a bump in vol. It always comes down after the fact. And then if you're looking to trade premium around CPI announcements, it was more common to look for premium to contract a following and to rise prior. Obviously, premium rises before the event, falls after the event. But again, depending on the market environment you're in, you always have to take that into context and put a lot more weight on that than the CPI number itself, right? So, and I think that is the biggest takeaway for traders, especially ones that are trading around the CPI event.
So would you say like our guesses at the beginning of the segment were generally accurate?
Yeah, of course. No.
VIX rises before a big binary event, and it's rising because there's a demand for hedging. There's a demand for protection into what could be a binary event that creates vol. But because it's a known event, you get hedging up front. Then when the known information comes to the market, you have a likelihood of released hedges, and releasing hedges generally leads to volatility contraction, and the fact that you have elevated vol, you can see vol sellers come in and take that additional uncertainty and pound it back down. That's the way I think about it. This is helpful to quantify that, but like the way I think about it is just, you know, something's coming, why wouldn't you hedge? And if everybody's got a demand for hedging, it raises vol. And then once that reverses, that comes out just like earnings event.
Well, and it's not, and it's that plus the fact that the amount of hedges will also be determined by the volatility environment you're already in.
Yes. Because hedging is cheaper in a rising. Yeah. That makes sense.
Exactly. So like if you're doing this in 2022.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If the market's going down and you have these CPI releases, that vol is going to be significantly more expensive, not because of what happens with CPI, but because of what's already happening in the market. And CPI, you may have an outsized move. You may have, you know, below expectation, regardless of what the move actually is, most of the action is going to be determined because volatility is already high going into the event. and not necessarily to do with the actual release of the CPI. Because, and the proof text for that is because how many times have we seen a CPI report or a Fed announcement that over in 2022, huge expected moves, and the actual realized price movements around the same.
Right.
Coming to 2023, 2024, those expected moves are like a quarter of what they were in 2022. Why is that? Did the numbers suddenly become less important? Partially, maybe, but I would argue it's a lot to do because of the actual market sentiment itself has changed, and therefore it changes the outcome of the CPI report, regardless of what the numbers says.
Yeah, it's reflexivity. So if everybody thinks there's a big move, they hedge for the big move. If they're hedged for the big move, it's hard to get the big move. If you don't think there's a big move, you're not hedged, and because the market's not hedged, then you have the propensity for a big slide either way.
Exactly.
Very good. And we got some movement in the market here today. You got gold continuing to rally, oil continuing to rally, silver continuing to rally, bonds continuing to rally.
Market... Bonds actually came in a little bit. Bonds feel like it's like they found a floor, and so does the market sold off, and it feels like it's running out of steam to the downside. Everything's kind of pausing.
But volatility is still bid and bid strong. Mm-hmm. And it was bid yesterday too. Anything? We don't know. That's the best part about it. Yes.
That's what the segment should be called. The whole show.
You buy every sell-off and you buy every rally. That's the way
Let's
I look.
Let's take a quick 90-second break and come back. We'll come back with more Tasty Live after this with Mr. Scott Sherrin and your phone calls, 855-238-2789 or 855-BE-TASTY. The unique thing about this next segment is you can get three opinions. Usually when Tom's on the show, you only get one opinion. You get Tom's opinion. But if you call in today and you have a question or an idea, you'll actually hear from Scott, myself, Victor, in an adult fashion. So please give us a buzz. We'll take a quick 90-second break. 855-238-2789 or 855-BE-TASTY is the phone number to call. Victor, you know what I'm talking about. Anton, thank you for your time. See you in 90 seconds.
Thanks, you people.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.